Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Aerosmith is your artist of the day. Song written about Vince Neil of Motley Crue. Dude Looks Like a Lady from 1987.
And now applies to Steven Tyler.
Ho! Oh. Have you ever seen his feet?
No.
Look it up.
I've heard.
What, are they really small?
Google image Steven Tyler's feet.
Steven Tyler feet.
Feet.
Google images. What the hell is wrong with his feet?
Yeah. Those are real.
Has he been wearing elf shoes or
something?
I don't
know, man. It's like they were bound, you know?
Yeah.
Like crazy weird. Have you seen them?
Yes.
You want to see them again?
No, I do not want to see them again. I don't.
Here, I'll show you.
At all, not
it's
even
like
a little
all
bit.
It's like all the small toes are crammed to the side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. His feet are weird, dude.
That's a fact.
Hang on.
That's great.
Just want to show these to Dana here real quick. That's great. There it is. There's
okay, a... okay, that's so gross. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. I really don't. Not even a little bit.
Here's a close-up.
No, gross! It's like when you were a kid and you would cross all of your fingers, you know, like this. Oh, please,
it's like his feet are doing gang symbols.
Yes. Yes, actually, that's exactly what it's like.
Okay, got it. It actually kind of grosses me out. Like, it kind of makes me sick.
Cover those things up. Why do you wear flip-flops when your toes look like
that?
That's
the thing. If your foot looks like the foot equivalent of something short bus, you should probably not wear open-toed anything ever.
Did you just equate his feet to the short bus?
Yeah. Because if there was a short bus for feet,
oh God,
those would be on there.
Oh God.
Here's the question I have. If he was going to wear flip-flops, between which toes would the flip-flop flippy go? 2 and 3, 3 and 4? I don't know.
I think 3 and 4. Definitely not 2.
You're not getting that between the big toe and the second one.
Definitely not 1 and 2. That's why he wears the... What are these shoes called? Those aren't flip-flops. What are those called? They sell them in Lawrence all the time.
Tevas.
Tevas, yes. That's why he wears Tevas, because he can't get his...
That's great.
Yeah.
He can't get the thing through.
No open-toed anything ever. Mm-mm. Don't do it. Mm-mm. If you're Steven Tyler, I don't understand it.
Mm. Okay.
Unless he's just trolling us all.
Okay.
Why does he paint his toe?
Here's what I would do. I would
weird
say...
weird about a dude who paints his toenails?
Because, well, dude looks like a lady,
yeah,
so...
Yeah. We're talking about, would you share a bed with your spouse, or is it easier to sleep apart? I would share a bed with Steven Tyler, but he would have to have socks on. And maybe be in the other room, because I don't want to go anywhere near those feet.
Well, then how would you be sharing a bed?
Cut it in half.
I'd love him. You know, he's probably like that from squeezing into all of those horrible platform shoes. I told you, Scott, when we saw Elton John, he did not get up from the piano this time, okay? And, you know, in years past, he's gotten up and come over to this side of the stage and goes over to that side of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And this last time, you could tell his hips, I believe, were really bothering him. Because when he got up to exit and leave at the end of the show, he was walking like, I mean, you could tell.
His hips all messed up?
Yeah, or? I think anyone in that industry where you are standing and jumping and dancing and probably not wearing you know, Skechers while you do it. Mm-hmm. Probably, you know, a medical thing for these entertainers.
At least, though, he was able to get up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dude, I remember seeing B.B. King when he was still alive.
He had to be helped out on stage. And
He would sit down in a chair at the front of the stage, and he still played guitar like it was nobody's business, still sang like it was nobody's business, but they would sit B.B. King down in a chair, and he was in his 80s, God bless him.
Yeah.
But they would sit him down in a chair, and then at the end of the show, he would say, thank you and good night. Lights would go down, and they would come get him.
And they'd help him.
Yeah, because he couldn't walk.
That's what happened with Ronnie Millsap when I saw him a few weeks ago. I mean, all the lights were down, and the curtain was down before they took him off stage.
All right, so we're talking about Gwyneth Paltrow, who is different, to say the least. She had a conscientious uncoupling from her first husband, Chris Martin, back in 2014. She's now married to some movie producer or whatever. When they went on their honeymoon, Chris Martin went with them.
Yeah. That's
normal.
They have just non-traditional... Yeah. Blended arrangement, and it works for them, and I think it's great.
And now Gwyneth Paltrow, in an interview with Good Morning America today, said that she and her husband stay together about four nights a week, and then three nights a week he goes to his own house and sleeps over there. A couple people write in the text line, my husband is a pilot. I can see both sides. I do sleep better when he is gone, but the help with the household chores is equally nice.
I had a girlfriend text me, and this is so true. This entire conversation depends on the age of your children. So are you better
tell me more.
By yourself, and you get the big bed, and you sleep more comfortably, but you have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old?
Hmm.
Or... are we talking later and your kids are 15, 18, they kind of...
out of the house even?
Yeah. I think that is an entirely different conversation. If you have toddlers in the home and you've got somebody traveling, woo!
So you want your husband in the bed with you when you need help.
Or your wife. I just think if in that stage of life where you have little ones running around and maybe one in diapers, it's very, very hard to do that by yourself if they are traveling. And it would not make up for the comfort of enjoying a solo bed.
576-7798. I'd like to hear from you guys. Hey, Stuart.
Yeah.
Mike Wickett paints his toenails?
Yes, I believe that's true. I think I've seen them before.
You don't know, Cats? Somebody on the text line says that Mike Wickett paints his toenails.
Okay.
I would imagine that's true.
Oh, my God.
I think I might have seen him once, but I can't confer nor deny.
Okay. Whatever. Early grievance. Parks forcing me to look up Steven Tyler's feet on the internet. Ruined my week. Okay. 576-7798. If you could, and I understand that Gwyneth Paltrow is a multi-millionaire, so is her husband, I'm sure. They stay together four nights a week. Three nights a week, he goes to another house, his house, presumably. Or at least that's what the story said. If you could afford it, is that what you would want? Or do you think, no. Come on, we're in this together. This is a marriage. We stay together when we can.
I don't know. Someone just wrote in, my parents sleep in separate rooms. My grandparents slept in separate rooms. I work with a gal who sleeps in separate rooms with her husband. I think this is more of a thing today than it would have been back in the 70s or maybe even 80s where people would have thought, oh my gosh, that's weird. I think tons of people sleep apart.
The last 4 years of my marriage, I slept in a separate room.
Well, but like today, don't you do both. So like if you stay with Kelly, you're with her, but if you're home alone in Roland Park, you're alone. Right. Do you not sleep better by yourself in a bed?
No.
Oh, man, I do. And Chris would say the same thing.
I wake up probably three times a night. The one thing I do know is that when I'm sleeping at Kelly's house, if I wake up and I want to switch positions, I'm much more careful about it.
Right.
I do it like in slow motion, like where if I was by myself, I would just go.
Do you make those noises too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't everybody?
I guess.
Jerk. Hey, who won the game last night?
Boston.
Oh my God! It's 3-3.
Yep. It's all tied.
The best two words in all of sports, ladies and gentlemen. Game 7.
576-7798. About this song. He said, I would do anything for love.
But I won't do that.
But I won't do that.
What is that?
Listen, right here.
Butt stuff.
Oh! Oh! Got it.
Are you 12?
Yes.
Butt stuff.
He turns 13 his next birthday.
William calling in from Lawson. Hello, William.
Good afternoon. It's not butt stuff that he wouldn't do. It was kissing Tyler or Tyler or
Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler.
Thank you. There you go. But as it comes to the traveling, I don't travel for work, but I do work for a large government entity that takes care of the snow during the wintertime. And we work 14 to 16-hour shifts during the wintertime, and we've had a really bad winter this year. And between my wife and I, we don't sleep hardly at all without the other in the bed with us. We've got two under 10 boys that we take care of, and we take care of a large farm outside of Lawson. And it's hard for us to be apart from each other for that long.
All right.
Have you noticed this on the text line? You either do this and you think it's the greatest thing ever and it works for you, or you don't and you cannot even fathom the thought that anyone else would do it. This is a pretty black and white topic.
Like either you sleep in the same bed no matter what.
Yeah.
Or you sleep in separate beds and you can't imagine sleeping in the same bed.
Like, why would anyone do that? But the people who do it love it.
Let's go to Hetty. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just love your guys' show. You guys don't know how you entertain me during the day.
Oh, thank you.
We love you back.
You're very kind to say that.
Thank you. I met my husband on a blind date, and we were both married for the second time, and he brought three young kids into the marriage. And we had a farm out in Paola, and we worked it and drove in town to work. And we slept together until... Yeah, but a 37-year marriage, the last 10 or 15, we were in separate rooms because he was one of those big CPAP machines that has the big machine that draws in the air and everything.
Yep.
But it took me a while to get used to him being there. And then when I lost him 7 years ago, I still hear him in the house. So I can't imagine being married to someone you love and living separate from them for two or three days out of the week. I mean, life's too short. You got to value every minute that you have with them.
That's a great point and a great call, Hetty.
Sorry you lost him. Yeah, I would just be curious how that conversation starts. I love you. We're newly married.
Well, I don't think it's the newly married doing this.
Gwyneth Paltrow is newly married.
Well, but she's, what, 50? Is she 50?
No, she's not that old.
I don't think this is the young, newly married doing this.
But how do you start that conversation where you say to someone, I love you, we're married, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, otherwise I wouldn't have married you, but 3 days out of the week, I think it's best that you go somewhere else. Like to your own house.
Listen to this. I work for the Ford Assembly Plant. I work both day shift and night shift. So sometimes I sleep with my wife. Some nights I'm at work. She sleeps alone. I sleep during the day. We make it work. So it really depends on what you can get used to. If you are a third shift worker, I wonder how many of those men and women sleep in different rooms, especially if your spouse is getting up at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. to go to work.
Let's go to Mark in Kansas City. Mark, hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
My wife and I, we don't live together, but 3 days a week. We have I work in the Kansas City area, and she's 2 hours north. And we've been doing this 4 years, married 34 years, and it works. I mean, it's really been, but most people look at us like, what do you mean you don't live together? But those 3 days make it all worth it.
Tell me more. What do you mean by that?
Meaning there is something to the absence.
Makes a heart grow fonder.
Yeah. And the time that we spend together is quality time. And it's just really been good for us. We've always had a good marriage, but now it's even better.
Let me ask you this. You work in the city, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you have a place here? Is it like an apartment or something?
Well, we've got our first house that's paid for, and then we bought another house on a lake up north.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that's where she lives and works.
Why does she not get a job in the city and move down here with you?
Well, she used to, but when this house came available 3 doors from her mother, and who needs help,
yeah,
so she's there and she can help. And we just decided apply for the job. We'll figure the rest out later. Got the house, and eventually, when I retire, we'll live together again.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. 576-7798 from the text line. My breaking point was his snoring. I couldn't take it anymore. He stays up late. He likes the windows open, the fan on high. I like it completely dark. Okay.
I can't stand light.
Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow went into this marriage with this arrangement. I'm divorced, but I think it would be hard going back to living with someone full time.
Yeah.
576-7798. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Will Sterrett. That's where I draw the line. Stop the music. What'd you just say?
I just asked you off the air, what is that?
It's Aerosmith.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
You say it as though I should know this.
576-7798. Scott in Kansas City. Hello, Scott.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Well, like you were saying, you know, people sleeping in separate bedrooms. Before my mom passed away, my mom and dad slept in separate rooms all the time for, I'd say, a good 7-8 years. Of course, he ended up being on a CPAP machine later on, but it made it easier for him. You know, that and think about truck drivers, too.
Oh,
they're gone,
yeah,
7 days a week, you know, come home. Sometimes they're not, you know, so they got to relax, be in their own room. And then go into the room with the wife or husband.
Yeah.
Did you just get done climbing some stairs?
Yeah, that, and I just had nose surgery on Tuesday of last week.
Are you okay? Is everything all right?
Oh, yeah, great. I feel a lot better. I can breathe a lot better.
Good.
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, no, it was a deviated septum surgery.
You take it easy.
Oh, you're into the cocaine.
Oh, stop.
No, sir.
Stop.
I'm kidding him. Hey, I'm glad you're feeling better, buddy.
Yeah, the first 2 nights that I had the surgery, I had to sleep in the living room because I was keeping her awake.
Well, and Scott, thank you for the call, and we're glad you're on the mend. Someone wrote in about being married to a firefighter, or I would guess police officer, or again, any third shift worker.
Sure.
That it's not necessarily the sharing of the bed. It's when they come in at 2 a.m. or 5 a.m. And I definitely understand that. Because I'm usually awake when Chris comes home. But sometimes if the NBA's on or, you know, they're on late or, you know, something like that, and I'm sound asleep, you know, he comes in like a bull in a china shop. He just does. And you know when you're trying to be quiet, sometimes it's magnified.
Yeah.
When you're really trying not to trip over a bunch of pots and pans. So if you are married to a firefighter, police officer, third shift worker, and you share separate rooms on those nights, I totally get it, especially if you have to be up early.
Do you wish, I mean, and I, again, I'm not, I would never question you. I know you adore Chris, but do you wish some nights he would sleep in a separate room?
When he comes home late, like if we're talking midnight, 1 a.m. On an election night.
Sure.
You know, if I have to be up early, it's nice to have uninterrupted sleep. But because here's my problem. Once he's home, I'm like, oh, how was your day? And then I'm up.
Then you're awake.
Oh, that's then I'm right. up. Yep.
Anything more than two sentences, you're awake. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean, deadly serious. My grandmother told me if my grandpa would not have been a truck driver, they would not have stayed married.
Oh, wow.
My oldest is 26. He got married last August. They have always slept in separate rooms.
I think if it works for you, it works for you.
Well, I slept in a separate room for 4 years.
Well, that didn't work for you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it works, it works. That was what we call not working.
Right. All right. The cell phone number here is 576-7798. Quick reminder, we are on the road on Friday, June 21st. We're going to be at the 54th Street Grill and Bar in Liberty. Be an honor and a privilege to spend that Friday afternoon with you. 576-7798. Michael in Kansas City. Hello.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing well. Thanks, man.
I used to do a hazmat cleanup, like had to slay some terrals, like train stills and all that stuff. And when I get home, my wife made me come home and go sleep in our bed with her. That way she knew I was home, safe, everything was fine.
Okay.
She refused. I was like, I'll just sleep on the couch. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. She said, no, I want you home in my bed when you get home. And that's the way it was.
And did you have to wake her up, or did you just have to get in bed?
I just had to touch her, wake her up there, and knew I was home. That was her deal. She wanted to know when I was home.
So. Is she still your wife?
Yeah, she's still my wife.
All right.
We've been together for 18 years now.
Good for you, ma'am.
Yep.
Sounds like she might love you.
I hope so.
Okay. All right, partner. Be good. All right. Yes, we will get into the audit that came out regarding black motorists in the state of Missouri. I saw you go crazy on it over Twitter over the weekend.
I could not believe the number.
Here, I'll just get to it now. We've done the sleep in the same bed story enough. Here it is. This is an editorial from the Kansas City Star. Driving while black in Missouri is becoming an even more perilous proposition. 2 years after the NAACP issued a travel advisory warning black motorists of the potential problems with traveling through the state of Missouri, a new report finds that in 2018, black drivers in Missouri were 91% more likely to be pulled over than white motorists. Quoting here from the editorial board of the Kansas City Star, our state has long had an abysmal record on racial disparities in vehicle stops, but Missouri keeps finding new ways to regress further. The latest annual report released by Attorney General Eric Schmidt's office shows. The numbers have gotten even worse every year in the recent past, and it's no wonder. Lawmakers and state officials have made little to no effort to put a stop to such discriminatory practices. I want to get back to that sentence in a minute. In 2017, black motorists were 85% more likely to be stopped than white drivers. The number was 75% in 2016 and 69% in 2015. The most recent report also shows that people of color are disproportionately stopped and searched by law enforcement. Black and Hispanic drivers were 1.48 and 1.4 times more likely, respectively, to have their vehicles searched than white drivers, despite the fact that both groups were slightly less likely than whites to possess contraband. Thoughts?
I could not believe the number. And someone on Twitter said, shame on you, you know this is going on. And I said, yes. Yes, I know this is going on. I could not believe that percentage. Okay. That is a mind-blowingly high percentage.
I want to go back to this sentence, though. The numbers have gotten worse every year in the recent past, and it's no wonder lawmakers and state officials have made little to no effort to put a stop to these discriminatory practices.
How? How are they going to put a stop
right.
to it?
That's exactly the question
I was
going
to ask. I'm not denying someone needs to put a stop to it. How are they going to put a stop to it?
What law could you pass?
I have so many friends who are police officers, Scott, who say, we have no idea if you are male, female, black, green, purple, or white when we pull you over. Let's say you're pulled over at dusk or at night, or you have tinted windows. He said, 9 times out of 10, I don't know who I'm pulling over.
So there isn't a problem.
I think these numbers would suggest otherwise.
But if the police really don't know who they're pulling over, is it possible? Is it possible that black people or Hispanic people commit more traffic violations proportionate to their population representation?
This number is too high. There is a problem. The question is why.
Well, but if there is a problem, then either your cop friends are lying to you, or there isn't a problem. It's got to be one of the two. Either they don't know who they're pulling over. They don't know the color of the person they're pulling over, so there is no problem. Or they do know who they're pulling over, and there is a problem. So either the cops are lying.
I think it's more complicated than that.
Okay.
I don't know. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I don't know that the number's ever been this high before.
It has not, actually. 4 years ago, it was 69%. Now it's 91%. 576-7798. 576-7798. Phones 576-7798. I think Dave in Smithville is going to share my own opinion, but let me hear it first. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, that just means that great minds think alike.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does, sir.
So we got to look at it from a socioeconomic standpoint. I think we all can probably agree that. Unfortunately, African Americans and Hispanics in the United States, especially in Kansas City and in the Midwest, tend to be on a lower socioeconomic scale than your average white guys and gals here in the area. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they're more likely to drive vehicles that are probably going to be in violation of a law, for instance, from an inspection standpoint, whether that be broken windshields, taillights, expired tags, things like that. Those are reasons why people get pulled over, and we want the police to patrol certain areas of high crime because that's their job, and we got politicians that scream for that. You got to patrol our neighborhoods because of the crime rate. But when you get more cops in an area, that means there's a higher concentration of police presence. Therefore, they're more likely to pull over more cars. And the people that live in that neighborhood are going to be the ones that get pulled over. And as soon as you get pulled over, guess what the cops are trained to do? Probable cause to search. If they smell weed when you roll down your window, even if they don't, they can say they do. They get probable cause to search. So it only follows the people who get pulled over the most.
I could not. Before she says anything, I could not have said it better myself.
You have to get into the weeds of the numbers. And so every single year this has gone up. It was like 75% more likely. Then it was 85% more likely. Then it was 90% more likely. Now it's 92. But I'm going to read this again. In the Kansas City area of Blue Springs, okay, which is 87% white, black drivers were 275% more likely to be stopped. I'm going to read that again. In the city of Blue Springs, which is 87% white, black drivers were 275% more likely to be stopped. And so, Dave, I understand what you're saying about the socioeconomic arm of things. We are not taking a snapshot of the inner city in Kansas City or the worst parts of St. Louis and looking at those stop rates. This is all across the state of Missouri. And when you pull back and you look at a city like Blue Springs, explain to me the number 275, Scott.
I think it's easily explainable when you have suburban areas, especially suburban white areas. When you have the voters and residents of those areas that are demanding that certain no-tolerance policies are adopted by local legislatures, and what I mean at the municipal level, and the Kansas City Star's opinion piece even says they want the legislature to do something. Do you want the legislature to lessen the probable cause? You want them to lower those standards so that folks aren't pulled over? Because as soon as somebody gets hit by a drunk driver or somebody who's high on weed, as soon as somebody is injured or killed, a child, for instance, you're going to be the very first person to scream about that particular case. So it's really not that cut and dry. There are police departments that are trained to look for certain things. And the things that they're looking for are violations of the law. Now, there's no bumper sticker on their car that says black driver. So how in the world do they know until they pull them over?
I would love to hear from a police officer on this.
Well, here, let's go. Alex in Kansas City. Hello, Alex.
Hi.
Hi.
Kind of, I agree with what the last caller said.
You're a police officer, by the way, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, it is a socioeconomic issue. I mean, I've noticed that poverty seems to breed crime, and, you know, like, people I run into on the street that I stop, they sometimes don't have their tags right, and it's just for their financial situation. I feel like it's also just part of societal's situation that they put them in. And I don't know drivers when I pull them over. I never see them. Usually I'm behind them, and whenever I stop them, that's when I figure out who they are.
I have heard officers say that, Alex, and I do believe what you're saying, but when I see a number in Blue Springs like 275% more likely in a town that's 87% white, it is very hard for most people to square that number. How is that number so high?
Again, I mean, I just think it's crime is pretty centralized, especially I've found in the Kansas City area. It's, you know, like all the crime in Kansas City is, you know, in the inner city and in the poorer areas. It just seems to breed crime. And with the socioeconomic situation that society has, it seems like a lot more minorities are catch the brunt of all the issues. And so cops are just kind of forced to be patrolling those areas.
All right. Hey, Alex, do appreciate the call. Thank you for your service. We will continue this on the other side because we just started it. And we got a full board, so hang tight, everybody. Let's get to the newsroom. Here is Will Sterrett.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.